Thanks for joining us on episode 1424 of the Inspired Stewardship Podcast.
I'm Sean Paul. I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and impact the world by using your time, your talent, and your treasures to live out your calling. Having the ability to recognize your life in Christ is key, and one way to be inspired to do that is to listen to this, the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with my friend Scott Mader. Whatever it may be is holding them back. So that's the first and foremost that I want to know is what is really holding that person back from actually diving deep into, hey, God, you have me. You have my life. You can do whatever you want with my life. I don't care. I'm willing to throw myself on the altar of God.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world.
In today's podcast, I interview Sean Paul. I asked Sean about his journey from business owner to missionary. I also asked Sean to share how we can learn to find God's purpose for our lives. And Sean also shares how he's building a platform to teach others the missionary mindset. I've got a new book coming out called Inspired Living, Assembling the Puzzle of Your Call by Mastering Your Time, Your Talent, and Your Treasures. You can find out more about it and sign up for getting more information over at inspiredstewardship.com, Inspired Living. That's inspiredstewardship.com, Inspired Living. Sean Paul is passionate about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. His life's mission is to develop a mission ministry that will help teach and encourage pastors and ministers around the world to be the best they can be for the kingdom of God. Additionally, he aims to inspire the body of Christ to live the best life they can possibly can through Jesus. He has a podcast called Life is Jesus Christ, and he's a missionary in Guatemala with his wife. He has two adult daughters with families of their own, blessing him with four grandchildren. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey, it's awesome to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I talked a little bit in the intro and shared a little bit about your journey and the work that you do and the ministry and mission work that you do. But I think it's always interesting to go back in time and talk to people about how did they end up where they're at? Because that journey is usually not this nice, clean, straight line that everyone thinks it, you know what I mean? It's usually a little messier than that. So talk a little bit about your past and your journey and what brought you to where you are today.
I always tell people, because I minister to a lot of people about finding the plan and purpose of God for their life. And I always just say that from the beginning, I always had this passion. I've been serving the Lord for 33 years. From the beginning, I've always wanted to know the plan and purpose of God for my life. So it's something I've always subscribed to. So I just say this, God will always put you on the proper stepping stones, so to speak, in life to get you to the place where he wants you to go. Where I started is I gave my life to Jesus Christ in 1990, got out of the military about 3 months later, went to be an apartment complex manager and in college. But in 1993, I started a business, a construction company in Des Moines, Iowa. And then in that, I had to really learn to just follow the plan and purpose of God. But as you fast forward, today I am a full-time missionary in Guatemala. I always knew that I had a call of God on my life. I didn't know exactly how that looked. I didn't know if it's being a pastor or whatever it may be. Never really felt drawn to do so. But I was just faithful in my local church. I was faithful serving. I was faithful ushering, whatever it may be, as a deacon, whatever it may be that God placed me in at that local church. I remember years ago, I said to one of the leaders while we were in a Bible class, I said, look, I know I have a call of God on my life. I don't know exactly what it is. I'm just being patient, allow it to come forward. So what happened was in 2007, just mind my own business at a Christmas party, church Christmas party, my pastor said, I'm going to Guatemala or Honduras. And I'm like, oh, okay. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just leaped in my heart and said, you go. Now, bear in mind, I've been on one other mission trip before to Mexico. Hey, look, I was there to serve. I had a good attitude, good heart. But trust me, I didn't get the mission bug. It did not bite me. I had no interest in going back. Again, I didn't have an attitude towards missions. I told my pastor, I said, man, I think God told me that I need to go to Honduras. So I could not make it during the time that he did. But I went that March of 2008. And I'll never forget sitting in the kitchen, so to speak, or the dining hall, so to speak, of the mission compound. And the mission director was sharing about the missions. And right then and there, the Lord said, you're going to be a missionary here in Honduras. And I just knew my heart, boom, I'm going to be a missionary in Honduras. And in saying that, I was a businessman. I was flipping homes, a realtor, just various aspects of real estate. I went home, told my wife, I said, hey, look, I think God's called us to become missionaries in Honduras. Now, bear in mind, that didn't go over too well with her. But it was a 5-year process. And people might be like, why did it take so long? I think in God's timing, things just don't always, it's not an instant microwave society. So in the 5-year process, we were serving in Honduras, going back and forth to Honduras, giving into the finances in Honduras. And then 2013, we actually hit the Honduras as full-time missionaries in October 2013. And then fast forward 10 years later, we've been in Guatemala. We moved to Guatemala about a year and a half ago. So that's kind of everything in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in there, you were a business owner, you were serving in your local church, and you never really had the mission bug. And yet now you are doing mission. Looking back on it, what were some of the things you think God had put in your place that prepared you for where you are today, looking back on it, that probably at the time you weren't seeing them as preparing you for where you are today?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. As a person in the military, I was not a believer in Christ in the military. I gave my life to Christ at the end. Just the military kind of gives you some grit. And I believe that I know I was purposely placed in the military because I would not have gotten to Radcliffe, Kentucky, where I gave my life to Christ. And that's who my church is still today. I would have never gotten there. But as being in the military, I got this grit inside of me. Just, hey, look, you've done enough nights in the rain and mud and whatever it may be. You just get this grit inside of you. And then, you know, being a business owner, again, nothing goes perfect smooth as a business owner. So you still develop this grit. So fast forward that into the mission field. If you talk to a lot of missionaries, if you study like some actual missional books and stuff like that, they're always going to talk about culture shock. And when I got to the mission field, I'm not bragging or boasting. I just didn't really deal with culture shock. Culture shock can really put some people into a tailspin, depression, whatever it may be. And a lot of times it may cause people to leave the mission field because of that culture shock. And then just various aspects of being a business owner, like marketing, how to deal with people, how to communicate, designing flyers, designing things, you know, editing, doing graphic design, just things like that. Those are just things that I have did as a business owner that I have well used here in the mission field. So I think God definitely, whatever, maybe what, 20 years, whatever it was, God definitely had me in a training program for those 20 years.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I like to highlight to people is that feedback loop between our faith and our life and our faith, that the things affect each other. And you've already touched on it some with you weren't a follower, you became a follower, eventually you led you to the actual mission field, and in between you did service and other things. How do you think that your faith journey and your life journey have intersected and connected to each other?
okay, as an unbeliever, I had no heart for God. I really had no interest in God unless, you know, until I was a teenager, I had a brief moment, 2 years of serving the Lord. And then, you know, fast forward to 1990, August of 1990, a worker was talking to me and sharing with me, hey, you need to be a man of God for your family, for your wife, and so forth. And I'll never forget that moment because I remember having that joy as a teenager. I was like, I want this joy back. I want that joy. So that's a defining moment in my life because that's what caused me to come back to Christ. And it wasn't I was dealing with depression or anything like that. I wasn't dealing with life issues. Life was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. And so, but I just remembered having that joy that, you know, if unless you're a believer in Christ, you really just don't, you can't really explain it to what to people. But then from then on, the onset of my life has just been totally interwoven with Christ. Even if I was a business owner, I conducted my business like a believer in Christ. I never wanted to be viewed as a guy that says, oh, I'm a Christian with a fish symbol on his business cards. And then he would rip you off as soon as you turn your back. I always interwove my whole entire walk, my whole entire life in Christ. There's never been a moment in my walk in Christ that I'm like, hey, look, this is a separate life. Business is business and Christian, that's Sunday. I've never lived that way.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about, you mentioned at the beginning that you've always felt that there's a purpose and a plan, that God has a purpose and a plan for your life and for the life of others. As you work with people who are struggling in that area, because I think a lot of times folks aren't, they may say, I believe God has a purpose for my life, but at the same time, we struggle with, yeah, now what is it? How do you help people begin to explore that area and maybe get a better feel for what is the purpose that they might have?
I first and foremost, I want to see what their heart and their attitude is, because you could, like you just said, they could say, hey, look, yeah, I do want to know the plan of God for my life. But then it's okay, you look at their life, not in a judgmental way, but they're asking me to do a tune-up speak, I'm going to have to analyze things. And if you can, you could really look at their lives and say, no, I don't really agree, because the choices that you're making, and whatever reason they're making those choices, you know, you have to really get down deep into it, because a lot of people will think that the plan of God for my life is going to be poverty. It's going to be what I'm going to miss out on fun. I'm going to miss my career. Whatever it may be is holding them back. So that's the first and foremost that I want to know is, what is really holding that person back from actually diving deep into, hey, God, you have me. You have my life. You can do whatever you want with my life. I don't care. I'm willing to throw myself on the altar of God, because the Bible clearly says in Romans 12:1 that, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living holy sacrifice. So see, we need to seriously throw ourselves on the altar of God. And because of that, then you are willing to make any steps that God has called you to do. Now, the final thing I want to share is on Romans 12:2. It says, then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, take me back to prior to 2013. Who was Sean Paul? Sean Paul was not trying to escape life. Sean Paul wasn't trying to mend his marriage and get to the mission field and think that's going to fix his marriage. Sean Paul didn't have an unruly child and think, hey, I'm going to get to the mission field, maybe that's going to fix my kid. Sean Paul was a successful businessman that was loving life, making money, had everything that he needed, you know, but God said. And so see, to me, I didn't care. I'm going to the mission field. God said, you're going to the mission field. I'm going to the mission field. Now you fast forward to 10 years later. Guess what? I love my life as a missionary. We had a six-figure income back then. To me, my income today might be considered on the level of poverty in the USA, but I don't care. I just don't care. I love what I'm doing. I love inspiring people for Jesus. God's never failed me. You can look at my refrigerator. The refrigerator's full. God takes care of me. And I believe that I'm walking in the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God for my life.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned earlier that the grit was something that you learned in the military and in the business world. And I think a lot of times, even if somebody is, okay, this is the direction I'm supposed to go, this is the call that God's putting on my life, this is what I'm supposed to do, we often still struggle with imposter syndrome, with feeling like, oh, wait a minute, maybe this isn't really what I'm supposed to do, feelings of doubt, maybe other voices or other people are talking into our life. Are you sure? Are you sure that's what you're supposed to do? That kind of thing. How do you think, how can people stay committed and recognize that, yeah, this is the right direction, even when it's either internal or external, they're sometimes getting messages that maybe it's not?
Yeah. I think it comes down to this is, the Bible says that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, to me, if you really study this out and look at it, as you delight yourself in the Lord, what is that? That is spending time with God. That is reading his word. That's spending time in prayer. That's spending time in meditating on God's word, meditating what he is saying to you. That is pushing back the noise of life. And I think today is a society ever so much more where we're obsessed with entertainment. I believe that I was talking to somebody the other day. They said that the study's done that right now, due to social media and like the reels and TikToks, meaning how fast the videos go and stuff, like literally the attention span is like 10, 15 seconds. It's crazy. So to me, we've got to just step out of that environment and get into the environment of really spending quality time with God, because that's where you're going to begin to have God take your desires out and put his desires inside of you, because that's really what that scripture means. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of the heart. Desires of the heart, sure. Yeah, you want a ski boat. That's great. But is that really what this is talking about? I think what it's talking about is God's desires in my heart. So what is my desires now? My desires is I want to pack people's lives for Jesus. I want to be obsessed with Jesus, live for Jesus. I want to have an awesome marriage in God. I want to be a testimony to those around you that you can do it. You see what I'm saying? So those are my desires today than years ago, where it was making a six-figure income, having a better car, whatever it may be. And again, there's nothing wrong with nice stuff. I'm not saying, and I have nice stuff. But then it comes down to this, is once you begin to have that intimate relationship with God, then there's something called following the peace of God. It's not then following something, a peace of God, but this is how we should allow our lives to be ruled. Is in Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. So the key is this, is we've got to learn to follow peace. When we learn to follow peace and joy, guess what? We will be led by the Spirit of God, because it goes on to says, for as members of one body, you're called to live in peace. God wants us to live in peace. And I believe that's how God will rule in our hearts. Now, does God speak to our heart through the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. It's a still small voice. I'm not saying an audible voice. The angels are singing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, to me, 95% of the time, I'm following the peace and joy. If I don't have peace and joy in the situation, now bear in mind, you could have a storm in front of you. You could be in the middle of a storm and you could still have that peace of God in your heart. And people might say, how do you even get this? How do you even develop this? It's like riding a bike. You got to learn to practice it. It's a lifestyle that you learn to live. And then if you have an unsettling perception in your spirit, you stop. You obey, you don't proceed, you don't go forward. And so seeing myself, now I kind of sense that you're a techie guy as well. I geek out on stuff like this. In my prayer time, I got a spreadsheet in front of me. You know, I'm sitting there God throws stuff at me, or I get these thoughts in my head. I throw them on my spreadsheet. I even got ratings like, okay, I don't really have peace on this. This is like a 5. No, I have no peace on this. This is a 3. That's how I find the plan and purpose of God in my life. I'm not saying all you guys have to do that, but I really geek out on this. And like I said, there might be some times that I'm really struggling in my spirit about something. I'm like, this ain't right. I just don't sense this. I don't perceive this. And I'll go for a walk. I just go for a walk. And I'm just like, God, Holy Spirit, you got to show me. And there's times I'm just like, I let things go. Boom. I've got total peace in that situation. Even though my head says I want it, I'm not getting the peace. I'm like, okay, God, fine. I'm walking away. It's done. I'm not touching anymore. And boom, peace comes. And I know I'm on the right track. So that's the way I mostly is led by the Spirit of God, is by peace.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've talked about in previous episodes, and I'm just curious your take on it, because it is, we talk about having a peaceful feeling about it, but one of the things that I've tried to describe to people, at least for me, and I'd like to see what you think, it is peaceful, but it's also active. And what I mean, I describe it as an itchy peace. So it's peaceful in that I feel contentment that this is the right direction, or this is the right thing that I'm supposed to be doing, or I need to lean into this. But it's not peace, because a lot of times when we hear the word peace, we think of sitting up on the mountaintop with our legs crossed. And no, there's also a drive behind it, or an activity behind it, or a pressure, for lack of a better word, behind it, of not only is it the right direction, you need to be either taking action. Sometimes it's not taking action, but it's, you need to be doing something or not doing something. There's a direction to it, for lack of a better word. Do you see that as well? Or?
Oh, 100%. So going to the mission field, everything's screaming in your face. Do not do this. You're giving up your career. You're giving up everything. You're giving up. I watch all my belongings that I purchased for 20 some years of my life to just be sold at pennies on the dollar. But see, the thing of it is, like you said, that peace was driving me to the mission field. Like, I had to get there. I had, so this, just giving up all my possessions was just part of the process. So that peace was just gives you that, it just sharpens your mentality. It's just like you're just driven to do it. And so, yes, absolutely. It's just like here. And I talked to you briefly in the pre-interview. I shared with you some things that I believe that God's placed in my heart about life as Jesus Christ. And there's a platform that I was introduced to by somebody. It's a software platform, and it's quite expensive. It's a monthly subscription. And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to invest in this. But see, the thing of it is, it just kept on coming to my mind. And I believe it was just like the Holy Spirit just giving me that peace. It's okay. It's a great investment. It's a solid place to put all these tools that you need, or it will give you the tools that you need to be able to fulfill the plan and purpose that I have for this website. So it was like you said, it was that peace I had to go and do it. And it's like the peace saying, go get it. Go start it. Start implementing it into life as Jesus Christ. So 100%, 100%, I'm in agreement with what you're saying.
So I've got a few questions that I like to ask all of my guests, but before I go there, is there anything else about the work that you've been doing or the missionary work there in Guatemala that you would like to share with the listener?
Well, as far as the missionary work, I just want to encourage people to find the plan and purpose of God for your life. A lot of times I've seen some people, they don't realize that mission work is part of the plan of God, meaning his overall plan. I'm not saying specifically for them. And sometimes people will look at missions like, I'm not called to go live somewhere. I'm not called to go to a foreign land. I get it. I get it. And I accept that. But don't always overlook missions in the sense of saying, I'm not called the missions because I'm not called the foreign land. Missions is a big swath, and you could do missions right in your local church. I have a really good friend in Florida, and what she does, she teaches and trains churches on how to perform missional care, missionary care. So they have missionaries. A lot of times, unfortunately, missionaries are ignored. They're like, oh, yeah, we support them. I really don't even know who they are. There should be some type of form of missional care. There's all types of things. You could be doing fundraising events for missionaries. Missionaries that have people back in the United States, they're like an ambassadors. They go out and speak on the behalf of the missionaries. So there's so many things that you could do for missions, and it's not just necessarily to go and live in the mission field. God can use you in so many forms and fashions for missions.
So my brand is Inspired Stewardship, and I run things through that lens of stewardship. And yet that's one of those words that I've discovered over the years means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So when you hear the word stewardship, what does that word mean to you, and how has it impacted your life?
It's funny you ask this question, because this is something I've been dealing with for the last couple of weeks. And I got to be careful I say this, but I have somebody in my life that just, they're an authoritative figure in my life, but when it comes to stewardship, they give a person a wrong impression. It's just, I haven't used that for a couple of weeks, so just throw it away or whatever. Just go and spend money. And just, again, I want to be very cautious how I say this, because I don't want to shed a bad light. But I'm just saying, it wasn't like a good example for me, because God was like, at the same time, like, again, God provides first. I'm not one of these missionaries. I'm going to sit here and cry on your podcast and say, send me money. I'm not saying that. But it's just, I was getting ready to go to the airport, and I wanted to stop at McDonald's before there instead of spending the money in the airport. Why pay double if I could just stop at McDonald's? And the person kind of like, why? Why would you think that way? And just gave me a lecture. And I was troubled about that. I was like, really troubled about that. So on the plane, I was thinking about it. Then once I got home, I thought about it. I said, Lord, I don't want to have a heart of just being a poor steward. I want to be careful. Why throw out this extra food when I could just throw it in the refrigerator and eat it later? Why? And again, I know this sounds dumb, but I think it's true, and I'm going to go somewhere with this. So I have these paper towels, and it's not the full sheet. They're divided into half sheets. So you could do a half sheet instead of full sheet. And I just felt like, why am I pulling out of doing the two wide instead of just a single wide? I'm wasting. And again, I know people might say, that's dumb. Just take three if you want, take five if you want. But I think what it got down to this is, in my prayer time, I think the Lord said, he that is faithful in little things, greater things shall be added unto you. And I believe that God showed me this. He says, Sean, I'm moving into you into an environment of prosperity. Now, I know that's a dirty word to some people. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm just saying prosperity, meaning I can go on a vacation if I want, whatever it may be. I'm not talking about the crazy prosperity messages that some people get upset about. But I'm just saying that sometimes we have this tendency, once we start prospering more, we start spending more. Oh, now I can get this and now I can get that. But I think God is showing me, as I prosper more, he wants me to be a better steward with those finances and not have this mindset, oh, I can just waste stuff. I can just throw stuff. I just can go buy stuff hilariously and not even care if it really is a plan and purpose of God for me to buy it or not. Go into that software. It's $129 a month. I'm like, God, this is a lot of money. And so instead of me just responding, just knee-jerk reaction, just go and get it because someone told me. No, I chewed on it for a couple of weeks. I chewed on it and just said, Lord, I want you to tell me if this is something that you want me to do, because I want to be a good steward. So hopefully that kind of answers your question there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is my favorite question that I like to ask everybody. Imagine for a minute that I invented this magic machine. And with this machine, I was able to pluck you from where you are today and transport you into the future, maybe 150, maybe 250 years. But through the power of this machine, you were able to look back and you were able to see your entire life and all of the connections, all of the ripples, all of the impacts that you've left behind. What impact do you hope you left behind in the world?
My impact that I want to believe that I am going to leave is that I inspired people to live for Jesus. That's my mantra. That's what I live by. To me, I want to, somebody spoke over me years ago, said, Sean, you're an exhorter, you're an encourager of people. And that's the life I want to live, is to encourage people to live for Jesus.
So what's on the roadmap? What's coming next as you continue on the journey this year?
The roadmap for me is life of Jesus Christ. As a missionary for the last 10 years, we are taking a lot of things global. We are contacting, connecting with pastors and ministers around the world. So what we are doing in collaboration and partnership with our church is that we're building out an association for these pastors. So see, I have a voice in finding the plan and purpose of God for your life, how to develop intimacy. These are things that I speak about. These are things that God's placed in my heart. But in saying that, I can't provide like leadership content. I can't provide content like such as how to develop a children's ministry, how children's messages, things like that. So that's what we're doing. We're collaborating together to build out an association for that. Then basically, and I talked to you about this briefly in the pre-thing, is the coaching, the mentoring. I don't want to say I'm struggling with that. I'm working that out with God, how that looks. I don't necessarily want to do a coaching business as per se. I want to be that place where someone might say, hey, look, can I talk to you? You seem like you might have some answers on how to find the plan and purpose of God. I just want to run some things past you. That's really where I'm seeing that. And I'm actually doing that right now, in the sense that there's two individuals that I'm mentoring and I'm helping them unpack that. But again, it's not necessarily as per se a coaching business. So I'm looking for those opportunities to connect with specific people to help them, guide them through that process of finding the plan and purpose of God for their life.
Awesome. So you can find out more about Sean Paul over at his site. He's mentioned it. It's lifeisjesuschrist.com. Of course, I'll have a link to that over in the show notes as well. Sean, anything else you'd like to share with the listener?
Yeah, just if you like what I said, the encouragement and things like that, and I'm not trying to pimp a book or anything like that. I'm just saying, if you like what I'm saying and the encouragement, and you'd like to have more of this encouragement, just stop by and see me at lifeisjesuschrist.com. Because again, that's just really what I thrive on. I just wrote a blog article on living a life of peace. Now I'm going to be releasing a new blog article this Monday. So I just release a lot of content to just be an inspiration to you, just help you be encouraged to live this life that God has for you and to discover and find it and just run after it.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. It was awesome to be here, and thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor. Go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures. Develop your influence and impact the world.